Podcast.
Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me this week is Mr. Jody Havnot.
Hey, Joe.
And Mr. Andrew Kiss.
Nobody knows who they were or what they were doing, but their legacy remains in the living rock of Stonehenge.
Now, we all know that one.
Classic. Oh, yeah. Classic.
Welcome back, Andrew. We missed you.
Yeah, man.
I missed you, too. Sorry for the absence, people.
Well, that's okay. Everybody gets it. I got a guy message me just the other night. And he's like, where the hell is Andrew? And I was like, he's on a sabbatical doing something for you know, around his house. He's okay. And he's like, we're getting Andrew back, right? And I said, yes. And he goes, I only live a couple hours north of Andrew. When I said, it was really funny because when I said, being a child of the 70s and the 80s really because of how old I was, I have this like view or image of how Canadians are because of Strange Brew, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so he answers when I said, yes, absolutely, Andrew's coming back this week. He wrote, beauty.
Nice.
You know, it's required by law to have a bunch of crullers and tapes of Rush in all automobiles in Canada.
That is the greatest thing you've ever said on this show.
And we have to apologize for everything. So I'm sorry for my absence.
When he said beauty, I was like, that is awesome.
You
but
did.
Like, no joke, you know, people missed you. I got a few different comments. So so Andrew's back. And
here to stay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Until I get busy again.
Yeah.
Not in the hibbity-hibbity way, but...
Well, we're hoping that happens, too. Okay. All right. All right, so let's see. News. There's a few different news things. Our own personal news that I want to throw out there first is check Jody and I out on Tuesday nights. Right, Jody?
Yeah, we need everyone who downloads... You got to come listen to us on Tuesday nights. It's not the same show. It's an actual whole different show. It's a bonus show. Someone asked me, they're like, why would we want to listen on Tuesday when we could just listen to the download? You know, people always ask me. I can't do it, dude.
Why do we listen on Tuesdays?
Why should we listen on Tuesdays when I could just listen to it on the download whenever I want? The key is, though, that it's a totally different show. It's live. It's not us recording this show that you listen to on Mondays. It's a completely different show.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to make that clear. Yeah. It's interactive. You can get on this board and talk to us, and we play whatever songs people are telling us they want to hear. We play a lot of shit we want to hear. We just talk Kiss. I really wish Andrew could do it with us, honestly, but it's still a lot of fun.
I'm going to try to do it. No promise, but...
Right. I know that it's a little late for you. That's all.
Yeah. Well, no, I'll get me buns to do it. We'll figure it.
And then, the cool thing is, you know, it's an hour and a half of us just BSing and talking with you know, the people on the chat line, and we do, and it's a lot of fun. But the cool thing is that we're able to chat together and talk Kiss, and everybody is involved in the conversation, which is really awesome because, you know, everybody wants to, you know, when you're listening to a podcast, you're putting your two cents in, but nobody's really listening unless you write a letter. But while we're doing this live show, you know, you can put your two cents in, and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and a lot of times it steers where the conversation goes, too, you know. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. The other thing is kisstalk.net. Go check that out. It is a website I put together with all of our favorite but some of our favorite Kiss-based podcast, and there's more, but it's coming. So just be patient. It's going to be a lot of fun for us as Kiss fans. All right, let's get to the news. I didn't even have to write it all down because there's so much insanity between Gene, Paul, Shannon, and now Nikki Sixx has put in his two cents. So Gene started by saying if Prince died of a drug overdose, it was a pathetic ending to his life. Basically, you know, what a wonderful life he lived, and it's a pathetic ending, right? Mm-hmm. And then Paul came right out and, you know, apologized for Gene. And then Shannon came out Gene was the next, and Gene said, you know, that he basically got tore a new one from his family
right.
about what he said, and that basically what he was saying was, you know, not everything that's in my quote is taken from the, you know, so that's just what he's saying. It's not, it's, some of it's out of context.
Yeah, it was a quote then mining.
It's clickbait is basically what he was saying. And then Shannon came in and went after Paul for throwing Paul under the bus. Then Paul
Gene
went
under the bus.
Oh yeah, Gene. Sorry. Good. Thank you for watching my back.
And then
Paul went after, or basically said something about Shannon, which is so disheartening. Then yesterday I'm sitting at home and I noticed that there's a Nikki Sixx interview for his new record that nobody's buying. And of course he's got to say something to get people to – now don't get me wrong. I want to make sure this is clear. I haven't heard the record, okay? I loved the last 6 a.m. record. I really did. I thought it was very good. I have not had a chance to listen to this one. But the truth remains that from what I'm reading, people aren't buying this record yet. So what you have to do is say something to make people go, oh yeah, look at that, Nikki Sixx has got a new record out. So what does he say? Nobody respects Gene anymore, and he's a joke. He should hang it up. He should go away. Blah blah blah. Ah, Nikki. You know,
it's like, dude, look in the mirror, bro. Those statements and apply to him.
The one that's, and I don't mean the one that's laying on the table in front of you.
I mean, you know, it's the same thing. What Gene does when nothing's happening, he makes his little statements to get press. And Nikki does the same shit because everything he does is based on Kiss. You know what I mean? So it's like, fuck off, dude. Mm-hmm.
I don't really think that Nikki Sixx does drugs anymore, but...
yeah, but
God,
he's patterned his whole career after Kiss, and then he wants to like be like, no one respects Gene. Dude, no one respects you.
Yeah.
I don't know. No one really does respect Gene in the industry, but... So what?
Have they ever really?
Yeah, they never have, and it never mattered, and it still doesn't really matter.
It's just really surprising and upsetting because I'm a fan of every person involved, and that includes Nikki Sixx. Man, I love Motley. I love Sixx. I cannot believe I hate that they do this to each other. You know, we're coming to the end of all their careers, and then this is, you know, the last things that you do are the things that people remember.
Well, that's what happens to old people in general, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess. You know, they just become bitter and, you know, and it's just like, Nikki, come on, man. You know, Gene, go back and actually read what he said. If true, and I understand that I may have a different opinion than everybody else on this show, and maybe even people that are listening, but if he did die of a drug overdose, it is pathetic. You know, Prince was a... amazing. Gene even talked about how he felt he was bigger and better than Michael Jackson in every way, you know. Mm-hmm. And if this was an accidental overdose, it is a pathetic way for Prince to go. It shouldn't have been this way. He should have grown old. And even if he didn't grow old, you know, Prince shouldn't have died in an elevator, you know, because of pain medicine. It should have been, I don't know, something
else.
Well,
like, it would have been anticlimactic if he died of old age, too. Like, that's an unrealistic thing to think. You know, what is it going to be, a skydiving accident or impaled by one of those big symbols, you know?
Right, but I think that what he was saying was the difference between tragic and pathetic. You know, this wasn't, to him, to Gene... this wasn't a tragic ending. It was a pathetic ending.
Ending would have been. He's been saying that for years about, like, Layne Staley and Jimi Hendrix or whatnot. Like, they're icons, but just the way they die, he's pathetic. And he's been saying that for years. But I think because it's, like, a too soon type thing, that's... like, if he said this 5 years ago... sorry, 5 years later or something like that, it wouldn't be offensive at all because people... wouldn't really care, but because it's such a like a fresh wound or whatnot, you know what I mean? Like, since it's so recent, that's why
totally
everyone's almost just, it's like saying, it's like when Gilbert Godfrey made like that Japan joke, like right after it happened, then But like, if he made it, it's still offensive, but it wouldn't be as big of a deal if he made it like 5 years later. So I think it's just because it's fresh and like it's like so recent that that's why it's getting such a big media. Right.
Yeah.
And for God's sakes, just like let him do some outdoor shows just to get him to shut the hell up, or just like reboot Gene Simmons Family Jewels, or get him to do something because he's obviously bored out of his skull. And just saying stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
It's making it difficult to be a Kiss fan. Like, to admit that. Just, oh, yeah, so you're racist and you automatically hate rap and you automatically. Like, just associating yourself with the product. Because he said it himself. Like, if you go to a concert, you have, you know, you have a say, but you're part of that because you bought a ticket. So, you know, just by identifying yourself as a Kiss fan, it also comes with a stigma. It's like it's difficult to be a Pantera fan now, too. I know I'm going off on a tangent, but it's the same thing. Like Phil Anselmo was saying white power at the end of Dime Bash. That makes Pantera fans look really bad, you know?
Yeah, like a
right.
Because of his actions. Because if you buy something, then you associate yourself with that person in a sense, because, you know. So just he's making it. The KST guy said that before, but yeah, it is true. It's making it more and more difficult to admit you're a Kiss fan. We got enough trouble and enough eye rolls as it is.
Right, and then you know, then you add on Nikki Sixx.
I just think that it's like, dude, it doesn't matter what he died from. He's dead. Let's just kind of remember the good shit. You know what I mean?
Right. Now, you see, now that's where we can all agree. You know, and that, and I get what was going on with Nikki. I get it, you know. You know, but the, I guess the radio station asked him and he had to, but it's almost like I feel like he said, "Make sure you ask me about Gene." You know,
because everyone's dying to hear the Nikki Sixx's opinion on what he thinks.
And he gives his opinion on Gene stuff all the time.
Right.
You know.
You gotta latch yourself onto someone. He's like one of those smaller fish that attaches to the shark. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I know you feel differently than, you know, I never felt that way about Motley or even Nikki. I always felt like he was a big star and, you know, I just...
Yeah, Nikki Sixx was like the coolest dude in Motley Crue for sure.
He was. Well, he still is, I'm sure. But, you know, and I get what he was... It just feels like he could have taken a little bit higher of a road. He didn't have to say Gene Simmons is a joke. Nobody respects Gene Simmons. He could have just said, "Well, I look at things differently than Gene does." You know,
right.
Blah blah
yeah.
blah.
Take the high road, dude.
Take the high road. You know,
it doesn't sell records or it doesn't promote much attention. You're not going to see. Best of luck to him. He needs to change his ways a little bit. You know.
Right.
Well, Nikki always kind of feels like Gene and his hate for drug addicts. Nikki feels kind of takes that personally since he was one, you know, I think.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And props to him for cleaning himself up and, you know, not being dead. But it just seems.
I just get tired of all that drama, man. I hate drama.
Yeah. You know, it and it's sucks. Just like I honestly believe that, you know. Now that this one is, I just don't. Next time Gene says something that's so controversial, it's really, in order for me to bring it up on this show, it's really going to have to be, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's just so, that's all it is week after week. Gene said this, Gene said that, Gene said this, and it's just like.
It's only worth mentioning when there isn't much other news, because we got to do some kind of news, right?
Yeah, that's true.
But what I want to know is, you know, this tour's coming up. Do you think in rehearsals, Paul and Gene are just like silent again, hating each other, and or what?
Maybe they're sitting there going, "Oh, I can't wait to get away from you."
Haven't they always been like that though?
Yeah, I guess.
Hey, but what if they're both sitting in the rehearsal going, "Dude, let's drum up some fucking controversy. You say this, I'll say that." And next thing you know,
maybe. And call Nikki.
Yeah, and next thing you know, they'll be talking about it on Podcast Rock City, dude.
Yeah, I'm sure they know about us.
Yeah, I hope not.
Anyway, but yeah, so that's, you know, well, I guess we'll have to wait it out and see if it's all over now. I kind of hope it is. What I want to know now is, the news I want to start getting is what's going to happen during this tour? What's going to happen on the Kiss cruise? Who's going to be on it? You know, these are the big things we've got coming up as Kiss fans. The movie's coming out. That concert, Las Vegas concert's going to be out in the theater. You know, I heard that there's going to be stuff in the theater that you'll see that you're not going to get on the DVD. You know, I can't go, of course. Yeah.
Did you guys see they released like a little promo clip for Lick It Up? Did you see it?
No, I haven't seen it.
Sounds pretty good. So I think they might have went back and kind of, you know, like we were talking about, did they go back to the studio and kind of doctor, you know, a live style
fix it up?
Oh, yeah.
I think they did.
I don't have an issue with that at all.
No, I mean, either. But I think they did based on what I heard on this little clippy clip.
And if you think about it, we're due a live video from Kiss. You know, we haven't gotten one in a long time. Was it Rock the Nation?
Yeah.
Was that the last one?
Technically.
A lot of those are boring, I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like that was one the that last came, one we got. What was the one that came with, like, I think it came with Sonic Boom. I had like 6 or 7 songs.
Argentina, maybe, or something. Rio, or.
Yeah, boring.
Something like that, yeah. But, all right, well, that's the news.
That's the news. All right.
That's the news.
Podcast Rock City.
All right, so what's our topic this week? Jody, you picked the topic, and I'm all for it because it's a good one.
Yeah, I figured Joe had messaged me earlier, and I messaged him saying, what are we talking about today? And we didn't really know, so I said, well, we haven't done an album in a while. And so I started thinking, which one haven't we done? And I decided, hey, let's do Lick It Up.
Lick It Up. That's an awesome record, too, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those really important records for Kiss, if you really think about it. I mean, that was kind of the big rebirth, right?
Sure. Do you think that... okay, let's start here. Let's start with this one. Do you think it would have sold if they'd have left the makeup on?
No.
Not as much, because that was their big card up their sleeve.
Right.
Yeah, I think it would have had the same result as Creatures if they had the makeup on, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. So the curiosity is what drug them to the record. The good music is what kept them.
Exactly.
There you go.
The non-makeup is the sizzle, and the music behind it is the steak.
Do you think well that Do you think? Well, I can tell you one thing. Dinner is done. do you think that the look that they portrayed on the album cover, they were all really nicely dressed, you know?
Mm-hmm. Just kind of toned down, you know?
They toned it down, you know?
Very classy.
Do you think that that helped? Or do you, I mean, because, you know, if you look, if they would have been dressed like they looked on the Asylum album.
Oh, boy.
You know? Can you imagine that record? You know, they would have, people would have went, whoa, and wait, what?
Well, it's like the mirroring of the first album in a way, because it's just their four faces on there. Or, well, like it's bodies too, but you know what I mean? Like it's just so simple, just like the first one. So it's almost like a reboot because it's nothing too crazy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, imagine if they would have like just took a photo of the gear they wore for this tour. It was totally different.
Yeah,
would have been the same.
The Lick It Up.
Yeah, it'd been like Asylum almost. You know, all the, a lot of pink and
shit. Yeah, jeans, pirate boots.
Yeah, have you ever you've heard the rumor that that Vinny on the cover is just a mannequin body, right?
Right, and then they put his head on there.
I mean, if you look at it, it totally. I mean, totally.
I've never
is.
Heard that before.
There's
but
no arm, dude. He has no arm. Like, he doesn't have a left arm, if you're looking at the record right now. Just look at it. There's no arm there. And
I'm looking at
it. Maybe it was on a podcast or something, but someone was saying this had something to do with the shooting of this, that Vinny wasn't there, so they had this mannequin, and then they just photoshopped his head onto it.
I can see that.
Well, I'm going to tell you, if you look at it, I'm not even sure Paul and Gene were there at the same time.
No, that's a composite of a lot of different photos.
It looks like they're all layered.
Dude, look at Gene's hand. I mean, that doesn't even match up. See how long it looks? That's like a cropped photo.
Yeah.
It's an interesting cover, though. Like, I think Eric looks pretty tough on it. He looks cool.
Yeah.
I think you're right, though. Like, I mean, they just kind of came out in their street clothes, you know, in quotes, street clothes. And I think that was a good move for him. Paul's rocking his watch and shit. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, and Vinny's got that, like, pink shirt on.
And the Ankh necklace.
Yeah, the Ankh necklace was the only, like, thing, man, you know?
Yeah, that kind of tied it back.
Yeah.
Gene's got that same necklace that he wore, like, in the elder days, though.
Yeah, the skulls.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Oh, you know, not to change... Well, yeah, to change the subject for just 1 second. But, you know, somebody posted this picture today, and I never noticed, but when Gene played that transvestite in that one movie, Never Too Young to Die or whatever...
Yeah.
Did you ever notice that he's wearing the same outfit in that movie as Wonder Woman?
Linda Carter?
Yeah, Linda Carter, when she did the kiss thing with all the dancers in the background.
Really?
Yeah, go back and look after
That's the same outfit, huh? As it's Ragnar or whatever?
Same exact outfit. You'll look at it and go, whoa, I can't believe I never noticed.
No, but did you ever notice in that scene where he comes out and sings live that he's singing the lyrics from Spit, like however many years prior to Revenge?
Oh, no, I never noticed that.
He's all, got no manners, not too clean. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. That's
yeah, you have to look
funny.
At it. So he's wearing Linda Carter's outfit, singing Spit lyrics like 10 years prior. Or maybe not 10, but you know.
You know what I like, if you know what I mean, yeah!
Honey, they're all the same. Quit while you're ahead.
Pretty awesome.
It's a trip. I think Runaway is a better movie, though.
Yeah, I agree. I'm looking at all these mocked up, Lick It Up covers, and there's even one where, you know, they've got them all wearing makeup. And then underneath is them without the makeup, you know?
Yeah, the Japanese record had like a makeup cover that like was like an overlay, and then when you bought it, you could take it off and see them without it.
Whoa, I need that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I've never seen one of those in person. Have you? At a record store or anything? That would be cool.
Nope.
That would be super cool.
That would be cool. So, all right, so the record comes out, and it sold really well, you know? It immediately popped the boys, you know, back into everybody's, you know, stereo.
Yeah, I mean, I can remember being a kid and seeing, you know, the Lick It Up video was a big fucking deal. I didn't see the unmasking or anything.
Me neither.
I do remember... like hearing that song and not before I knew that it was Kiss, I was like, oh, this kind of sounds like Kiss. And then my friend Mike's sister was like, that's Kiss without makeup. I'm like, really? I just remember kind of tripping out on it, thinking that Gene looked really fucked up. You know, what was it like when you first saw that Lick It Up? When you first
saw him? Thing, man. It blew my mind. You know, I was like, I had no idea that they had taken the makeup off. And I mean, the minute I saw it, I was like, okay, this is a big deal, yeah. You know?
It's cool.
Plus, Kiss was on MTV.
And, you know, really, Lick It Up's a great fucking song, man, honestly.
Yeah.
It fit with what was going on at the time, you know, like, perfectly. I think Lick It Up's one of those records that's completely underrated. A lot of people don't even listen to anything without makeup. They're really missing out on Lick It Up, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're missing out.
It's probably the strongest non-makeup record. Maybe. I don't know, though.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
I mean, to come out of the gate, there's a lot of good songs. And, you know, obviously a lot of that had a lot to do with Vinnie Vincent, because he wrote almost every song on here, at least has a co-write, you know? I think the only ones he didn't do was, like, what? Dance All Over Your Face and, I think it's like a glove, maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Which to me, I always thought that one sounded like a Vinny song. It's kind of weird that he didn't have anything to do with it. But yeah, do you guys want to do a track by track or what?
Yeah, I think that sounds like a good idea. We could do that.
I haven't done one in a while.
Yeah, let's see here.
First song is Exciter.
Exciter. Yeah, man, that's a good song.
What do you guys think of it as an opener? You think it's strong as an opener?
Yeah. I mean, my, like, to me, I always thought that Young and Wasted would have been a really good song. Cause it just,
yeah, but you can't open it with a gene.
Yeah, that's true. Right. That's the rules.
Yeah, Kiss rules.
So, Exciter. Yeah, really good song. Guitar playing's good.
Yeah.
You know, it's just one of those things for that, you know, it's overlooked, you know?
It is kind of an overlooked track. You don't hear a lot of people talking about it. I think Rick Derringer played the solo on this one instead of Vinny.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah. What do you think about it, Andrew? You like Exciter?
It's all right.
Yeah? That's it? It's all right? I like the way it starts.
It's kind of like, it's like Power Slave a bit.
Yeah, I could hear you.
Yeah, I hear that. That's pretty crazy. I never noticed that.
It's a pretty good song, though. It's one of those ones off of Lick It Up, like, for my iPod, I only have, like, certain songs off every record, and it's one of the Lick It Up ones that made the cut, so I dig this one.
Let's see, what's next? Not for the Innocent.
It's okay.
Yeah. This is, to me, a little bit of one of the weaker songs.
Yeah, I mean, it's not one of the strongest, but I can tell you when I was a kid, I really liked it. I thought it had kind of an ominous beginning, you know? It's kind of a... I don't know, it kind of fit Gene's character. I think that it could have been on Creatures. You know what I mean? It's kind of a Creatures style.
Right. Yeah, you're right about the character and everything with the beginning of the song. It's almost like they were trying to give Gene a home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because once that makeup came off, we've discussed on this show 100 times how he was lost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like... You know, when writing the record, he kind of was still writing to that character, and then I guess he got out on stage and realized that he wasn't that character without all that gear and makeup on. He couldn't make the transformation, you know?
Right.
We all know the results of such. An awkward, yes, and fucking weirded out Gene for quite a few years there, you know? Until probably, what? I think he kind of figured it out. Well, I think Hot in the Shade, he was all right, you know?
Yeah.
He went back to black.
Yeah, yeah. Where his socks tucked, or his pants tucked into his shoes.
Those big, like, super high top white sneakers.
They're like wrestling boots or something, yeah, like that. Wrestling shoe.
Why would
Wasn't
you
go, wearing those?
They all were, dude. It's like, why would you go black on black and then have these big, glaring white fucking wrestling boots or whatever? It doesn't make walking any kind of sense. Just stick with the black, you know what I mean?
Walking on a cloud.
Well, that's what it makes it look like. I don't know.
Yeah, and like Paul even had those ones that kind of look like the Michelin Man, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Crazy Nights.
Yeah.
I think.
Oh yeah, they have like, it's like, weren't these like those like
puffy like marshmallow tops?
British. What was the name of that? BK.
British Knights.
British Knights. Yeah,
yeah, like, oh, Bruce would, man, always wear their shit because it was like a BK.
It said BK on the side.
Dude, let me ask you this, Joe. Andrew, this is way before Andrew's time, but do you remember when all of a sudden out of nowhere people were like, British Knights are made by the KKK? It's like, are you fucking serious?
No, I didn't know that.
You never heard that? It was like some rumor back in the day that they were like some kind of racist shoes, and if you like took them apart, there'd be some like, I don't even know what, some kind of KKK message or something. I don't even know. Some kind of crazy shit, man. Like,
it's the best story I've ever heard.
I never wore those kind of shoes.
Rumor again. It's like, what the hell? All right, let's go forward. Lick It Up.
I really like it.
Great song.
I can't stand it live. I think it needs to go out of the set, but it's got that 80s flavor. I really love the studio version.
Yeah, no solo. I think that was really risky, but it panned out.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of different for Kiss not to have a guitar solo proper. I mean, it has that little interlude, but it's more of like an arpeggiated thing.
I can't picture them doing the build-up and the woo without thinking of Anchorman when they just say, yeah, like they all jump at the same time. Like, I just always think of that whenever.
Just reminds me of Pods and Sods. But, yeah, it's such a well-crafted, little tight little pop tune. I see why it, you know, became the hit that it did. I think it didn't do as well as a single as we might have thought it did. I think I read that it's like it made it to like number 66.
Oh, wow, really?
So not even top 40, but it seemed like it got played to death when I was a kid. I guess MTV was playing it a lot more than radio.
Well, you know, we've heard the stories about, you know, Paul, you know, talked about records without makeup going to the radio station. They were like, wow, they're still around. The radio stations had no idea, you know, some of them had no idea that Kiss was around anymore. And they were like, the makeup van? And they were like, no, they took their makeup off. And they had no idea that that had happened either.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? It just shows you how far off the radar they had become and the reason why they took the makeup off in the first place, you know?
Right.
It's like they were dead in the water, dude. Which is crazy because we all look at, like, the Creatures footage and, like, that I Love It Loud video. It's so badass to, like, a Kiss fan, but, like, to pop culture, it was over.
Right.
It's crazy. It's hard to understand all that. I think, you know, we've talked about it a million times, but I think it comes back to the whole, like, Dynasty, Unmasked, Elder, like 1, 2, 3 knockout, you know? It's like they're done.
Right. Yeah. And then they released an awesome not that those other albums weren't good, but they released Creatures and people didn't even, they were like, sorry, gave you 3 shots.
Yeah, too late, man. Too late.
Yeah. Yep.
Once, twice, 3 times the album.
Nice. All right, let's see. What's next?
Young.
Oh, Young and Wasted.
I can almost taste it.
The version track everybody loves. Everybody loves Eric Carr singing it live on Animalized Live.
Oh, yeah.
He's fucking ripping it on there.
I wish they would have done it that way still. On the record, you know?
Yeah. Eric could sing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It would be cool if, you know, if live they let Eric Singer sing that song, because he could sing that too.
You think he could?
But why would you put it in the set?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. You know, it'd be, you know, it's, I guess, for the same reason that they have Tears Are Falling or Lick It Up or.
I know, but. Know.
Yeah, but those are at least singles.
That's no way that. Yeah, there's no way that Young and Wasted is as big of a hit. You know what, like, I'd rather have Young and Wasted, but I'm a realist as well, you know?
Sure. Like, right, no, you're right.
People there, most people don't even fucking know Tears Are Falling anyway there. They're just waiting for I Was Made for Loving You.
Right. Well, you know, this tour that's about to happen, the places are so small that they're playing. You know, the only people that are going to be there are going to be diehard Kiss fans. I can't imagine you're going to get many tire kickers, you know?
I think they will get tire kickers. Cause it's
you
like,
think so?
Well, there's a shit tons of tire kickers that wouldn't drive 2 hours to go, but if Kiss comes to their town, hey, let's go to the circus, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that's true.
Let's get some cotton candy, or in Canada we have, believe it or not, beaver tails.
You got what?
Okay, wait.
Not actual beaver tails.
Right, okay, so what is a beaver tail?
It's just a big flat dough. It's like a funnel cake, but like it's the same thing as funnel cake, but just
it's made like a waffle flat, or something.
Sort of. It looks just like a really thick, pretty much like a pizza without any of the toppings or sauce, but it's covered with cinnamon and brown sugar and just icing sugar and strawberries and stuff. It's like funnel cake, but it's just a flat version of that, but it's called a beaver tail.
I'm going to tell you right now, I want one.
Hell yeah, sounds great.
Sorry.
Is it deep fried?
Goddamn right it is.
I want a beaver tail.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say it was like some kind of sexual thing.
Well, no, that sounds a little risque, but it's...
Yep. So, let me tell you, and since we're on deep fried foods, one of the big things down here are deep fried Oreos. Do you guys get them up north?
Deep fried Oreos?
I'm sure at some.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
I'm sure at some.
They dip them in batter.
You batter them up, huh?
They dip them in batter and then throw them in there, and they get all mushy on the inside.
Wow.
Crispy on the outside, fluffy on the inside. Next track.
All right, what's the next track?
The next track. Give me more. Track. Give me more. Oh.
I hate this. I can't stand this song. This would make my bottom list for Kiss songs.
Yeah.
Wow.
I like that it's all fast and rocking.
It's not my favorite either.
Nah, but the chorus is kind of annoying. I think the way it just kind of rails in. Like, I don't know. Yeah. It's not one of my big favorites. I kind of like when Kiss plays fast just because they're kind of proving that they can, you know?
Right.
You know, in the 80s, we had one of these type of songs on every album pretty much, you know? This was the first of them.
Yeah.
So maybe that counts for something, but I don't know. Most of the time, I would skip that one. I don't know. It's not that strong.
Yeah, I feel the same way. It's not near the bottom of my list, but still, it felt like filler.
Yeah.
Stock.
Stock. All right, All Hell's Breaking Loose. I love this song.
Oh my God, it's so good.
Yes,
it's so stupid, but it's so good.
The riff is just.
I like walking around. Like, if I need to walk anywhere, I put this song, this and Staying Alive. Just perfect walking music. You're like a
Staying badass. Alive by the Bee Gees?
Yeah.
That is the greatest news I've gotten. I love that you love that song.
You like that mental picture? Yeah, not pretty. But.
Man, wow. I can see you walking to the beat, too.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Hell yeah.
All Hell's Breaking Loose, man. The video was funny. Right?
With those, like, fun. Really bad sound effects of, like, yeah. It sounds like Gene's punching through a piece of paper. Like,
yeah. And then the sword fight, and Paul takes the sword and goes, and Gene, like, covers his face.
Dude, he looks like a buccaneer. I can see him being, like, no, Paul being, like, an
arrow. Oh, he does, especially with the little frilly leather jacket on.
Absolutely, dude. I can see him being in The Last Voyage of Sinbad. The Explorer, not the comedian.
Gotcha. I know who you're talking about.
Just for I know. I'm just being a dick.
Hey, did you guys know that this video was nominated for the award for best cinematography at the first MTV Awards, 84?
Was it really?
Yeah. It's a little nugget that I pulled off of Kiss Monster, that great website.
I can't imagine that Kiss ever won an award at an MTV Music Awards.
Oh, they didn't say they won. They were nominated.
Nominated.
But even being nominated in 1984 for Best Cinematography for All Hell's Breaking Loose is kind of shocking. I don't know. It's cool as hell, though. I never knew that.
No, that's pretty crazy.
That's an interesting tidbit.
And we've talked about it before, but this is kind of like the song that invented rap metal, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So, yeah.
You know, Paul's little rap at the beginning.
It's great. Street hustler. It's like, what would Paul really say if a street hustler came up to him?
I'm just walking along, just grocery shopping, and they say, Paul, what's the secret to not being mugged? And really, it's having a good pair of running shoes.
Being cool.
I missed you, Andrew.
I didn't, and I had to live with me. Anyway. But thank you, Joe. That's nice of you.
Anyway, and then, you know, the street hustle is a little person.
Right.
Or was it the guy in stilts? No, I guess, no, that was the his backup.
He's like, what be this, and what be that?
Backup was the guy in stilts.
Whoopee.
Oh, that's funny.
Hey, man.
Now I'm going to watch that video again tonight, just because.
That's pretty cool. I always thought that was such a cool riff, though, and it's kind of cool that Eric came up with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's so un-80s, too. Like, everything was breakneck speed or whatnot, and this is taking it very Zeppelin.
Yeah.
You know, just very...
Yeah. I even read somewhere that Eric kind of was envisioning it to kind of have a groove like Cashmere when he wrote it.
I didn't just hear that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Moving on.
Okay, next track, A Million to One.
Dude, I love this song.
Yeah.
For me, it's like probably the best song on the album. I fucking love this song.
Mm-hmm. It's a great song.
Isn't it amazing how that happens? You know, the song that got no airplay is the one that you love the most.
Well, you're also not burnt out on it.
I always felt like most bands release one of the weakest tracks as a single. Like, for me, it's like a lot of times if you like the single, you know that there's going to be way better songs on the actual record, you know?
It's like the powdered sugar before the jam, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. This one was written about Donna Dixon, right, Joe?
It was.
I think so, yes.
Actual jelly donut.
Somebody give that boy a slice of pizza!
Well, stop bringing up food. I'm already bringing it up too much. I'm starving. Anyway, it's kind of cool how he backpedals, though. Like, because you don't really hear that too much from Paul about him criticizing his lyrics too much, but how in his book it's just like, yeah, that was sort of me releasing all my feelings or whatnot, and realistically someone would. It's kind of arrogant to say you'll never find that, like, another love like mine, but if you're hurt, that's the kind of thing you'd say. But it's kind of cool how he backpedals and still criticizes his lyrics a little bit in the book. Right. I thought that was really interesting.
Well, if there's one thing about Paul that you know, it's by no means does he think he's perfect.
That's true, but you don't often hear him, like, admitting stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, he always tries to put a spin on it in some delusional way.
Right.
I love you, Paul. I'm not being... You know what I mean, though.
Yeah, I know
exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
He's always has to be the victor.
Yeah. Let's see. Fits like a glove.
Everyone says it's stupid, and I agree it's fucking stupid, but I can't get enough of this song.
Yeah, I love the hot butter,
like, that's one of the most ridiculous things Gene's ever written.
Apparently, in order to play on the Kiss cruise, they have this thing, it's called Almost Famous, and then you audition through video, you send it in, and if they pick you, you get to set up with a band. They set you up with a band, and you get to do a song or two, I guess. And I already said, you know, I'm going to audition. I want to do it. I want to try it this year. And I said that if I get the opportunity to put my two cents in about picking a song, if I happen to get chosen to do it, I want to do Fits Like a Glove. I thought that would be one of those things that the crowd, A, wouldn't expect, and two, it's a kick-ass song.
Oh, that's a rocker, dude.
Yeah. You know?
You're not doing You Make Me Rock Hard?
You know, although that would be a good joke for all of our listeners. But, you know, so when I do my audition video, I got to pick a song to do. But I really love that song.
Yeah, me too. I think it's definitely the best Gene song on the record. You know, I can't, you know, bar none.
Paul licks his fingers live.
Well, let's calm down with that.
Yeah, it always ends up coming up, huh? You guys didn't like the big breakdown in the middle, Andrew?
I like it, but it's fucking stupid.
Well, lyrically, it's retarded, yes, but Gene sounds awesome when he breaks it up.
Yeah, I love that. Like, he's very Ian Gillan type thing, like very Highway Star almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never thought of that. Good.
And he channels like the old Deuce Gene, like the scream at the end of Deuce. I like when he does
that. Well, that's what he sounded like when he's taking the Deuce, and it's not.
He starts off like,
And dropping the deuce.
I was on their tour in Mexico.
He had too much water.
That was recorded in the enchilada.
Oh, where are we going with this, fellas?
Yes, okay.
You wanted me back, so.
Let's go to track number 9. Dance All Over Your Face.
Stupidest song. Okay, I changed. This is the worst song.
It is bad.
Jimmy Moore is close, though. I don't like that one, but this is just, ugh.
Yeah, Gene, the hurt Gene, lashing out at people and shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't like to see that side of Gene, really. You know, you want Gene to be the strong, you know.
Doesn't do that well.
Nah. You need Gene to be the heavy, you know, the strong guy, not the guy that's like, you sink your teeth into this, bitch. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work for me.
Angry Gene.
It's like, the demon doesn't get hurt, dude. You know, we don't want to see that side of him.
He's a demon.
Yeah, the demon should give no fucks given.
Mm-hmm.
It's a stinker. There we go. So yeah, I think we should move it on down.
All right.
Move on down to Lickerville.
What's the next song?
This one's called On the Eighth
Day. And On the Eighth Day.
Love this song.
Yeah, very, it's a good one.
Very underrated.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones that just, I always thought from the first time I heard this on the record that this would become a Kiss staple. It's like the new anthem, you know?
It's but the anthem that never happened.
Yeah.
But it should have.
It would have been a great one live, you would think, you know? But I guess they just didn't. I don't know if they ever even attempted this one live, did they? I can't remember.
Not that I know.
Yeah, I don't think so.
FAQ would probably know.
Right. Someone out there, if you're listening, let us know. We don't fucking know. But, I mean, it should have been.
We don't know anything. It We're totally not qualified to do anything.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Hey, I wanted to tell you guys, I did a video today and put it on Facebook, and it was, I moved my recording area downstairs into my big Kiss room, you know?
I saw it.
And Joe Ciambelli sent me a message. It says, I thought all three of you guys lived together just like Kiss does.
With a monkey and a bunch of...
Yeah. That's pretty awesome. Joe's funny.
Yeah.
Bunch of root beer.
Trail yeah. mix.
I love some root beer now. Alright, so that was Lick It Up. It's a great album. Go listen to it, you know?
Yeah,
enjoy Kiss records. Music, you know? You'll listen to it and you'll go, damn, this really was a great record.
I think it has like a very... It's a very important spot in Kistory, you know, and we a lot of times sure. A lot of people overlook it, I think.
Agreed.
Podcast Rock City.
So that's our Lick It Up track by track. Great album. Let's see. We do. Now Andrew's back. So the questions have started coming in. Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh. And so the questions are starting to come in. Remember that you can send Andrew a question, and we ask him the question right here on
Ask Andrew.
And so basically what this is you send in a question for Andrew. We ask it to him. He's 22, young Kiss fan, and he gives you his opinion, you know, from a young mind, not an old person like Jody. Let's see. So here is... This is a good... Yeah, of course it was.
Hurt my feeling.
Feeling. One. Singular. Nice. All right. So here's the question. It comes from Brian C.
Hi, Brian C.
Hi, Brian C.
Hello, Brian C.
What up, man?
Thanks for listening. And, you know, he wrote a long letter to us, and it's really great. Basically, just listen to another great episode. Love you guys. Keep up the good work. There's this whole thing about Ace rumors and stuff like that. So that's when he gets to the question. It says, if you need to ask Andrew, who would you replace Gene and Paul with? And it says, reasonably, they should be known, but no more than Bruce, Eric, or Tommy. From a mid-level band like Black and Blue, or a minor, you know, like Eric, how he's a hired gun, you know. This is tough.
That's super hard to do.
Immediately for Paul Stanley, my first belief for myself would be Axl Rose. No kidding.
You have to sit down and shit.
Yeah. All right. So, this is tough. Do Paul and Gene? Who do you think? Who can take their place?
Troy Sanders from Mastodon would definitely replace Gene because he's got the same sort of stage presence, and I think vocally he could definitely pull it off.
Okay.
And that's sort of it's a big metal band, but it's sort of a mid-level known band altogether.
Oh, I think they live here in my town.
So definitely him, yeah, Troy from Mastodon, I think would be perfect replacement for Gene. Yeah, killer bass player, great vocalist, so yeah. For Paul, though, that's a tough one.
It would have to be somebody that could sing and a bunch of... All right, so while you're thinking, I'll tell you my two. You ready?
Yep.
All right. So, and believe it or not, and I know that this isn't really, so because it's Ask Andrew, so I'm going to put my, it's different. I'm changing the question. I'm putting somebody a little more famous in there, but I think Nikki Sixx would make a good Gene.
I was going to say Nikki Sixx as Gene.
Did you really?
Yeah, just because.
Okay.
And I can't think of one for Paul.
The only person that I could think that could walk out on stage and belt out a vocal like Paul Stanley, and please forgive me if this upsets anybody, but Michael Sweet from Striper is a badass.
That would be kind of really, cool.
I think he could pull it off.
You got to be able to play the guitar parts too, and he could do that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a Kiss fan.
Yeah, they even did Shout It Out Loud on their covers record.
Their covers record. So that would be me. I think Michael Sweet, you know, and Nikki Sixx. So
instead of throwing out like Bibles, they could throw out various Kiss products.
Yeah. No way, they wouldn't do that. That's free. Are you kidding me? It's like they would throw something, but if you caught it, you still had to pay for it up at the door. Excuse me, did you catch that? Yes, $6.99.
I think it'd be really hard to replace either one of them, though. And yeah. I think I'd go back to our idea that we had like a year or two ago about like the, you know, like a talent show.
Yeah.
Where, you know, there'd be all these different Pauls and Jeans auditioning, and you wouldn't know. You'd only see them in makeup, you know?
Yeah. You don't know who they are. They come out. That's a tough question for you, huh, Andrew?
It is. I can't even think of who would replace Paul. Like Blackie Lawless, if he dropped a lot of weight.
Yeah. Blackie Lawless.
I think he'd make a better Gene.
That would be the closest you could come. He would be a better Gene, though. With the, like, cod piece, you know, with the
damn... No, as soon as this ends, I'm going to think of Seven That Good, too.
That's always the way it works. Totally,
what if they broke the mold and it was a female that replaced Paul? Some hot chick.
Well, Lizzie Hale, then, for sure.
Yeah. What's the chick from that Pretty Reckless? She's pretty...
Oh, I was thinking of her, too, yeah.
Cindy Lou Who. What's her name?
From In This Moment. What's her name?
I have no idea.
I don't know either.
I can't think of the girl's name. Oh, man. I really love the Pretty Reckless, too, but I can't think of her name.
Taylor something.
Yeah.
Taylor Munsford.
Something like that. Is
that it? Yes. I think that's it.
She's good.
Be interesting to have a female in the star child role. It's the only role you could really put a girl in, I think.
Yeah. In order to be a female ace, you got to be a badass. The girl, you know, that chick from Pris plays guitar really well. You know, the drummer that played the cat girl, she was, you know, the kitten. was pretty badass too. There's nothing like seeing a girl Kiss tribute band, and the Jeans got like, a cut off shirt on, so her stomach showing, and she's in high heels and.
You need a minute, Joe?
Yes. No, my buddy that was with me is like, I need to get me some of that demon. I was like, all right then. All right. So this has been good. Nice to have you guys. You know, Andrew, we really did miss you. We're glad that you're back. Oh, it's time for dinner at Andrew's house. Yep. He's been thinking about beaver tails.
Okay.
Pizza. All kinds of food. We're going to get him out of here. But before we do that, we got to move on to Jody's Song of the Week. H-A-B-E-N-O-T, it's Hap Dog's Kiss Song of the Week. Go! So, what'd you get for us? What you got?
I think this week I'm going to pull one off of Dressed to Kill, since it's my favorite record, and I think I'm going to go with Come On and Love Me.
Oh, okay.
You thought I was going to do your favorite, huh?
Yeah. It's okay. I'm glad you didn't.
Right. I figured I'd spare you.
Yeah, Come On and Love Me. Awesome, awesome song.
Killer song. Where does it go, Andrew?
Right here. Sorry, I'm a little rusty.
There we go.
her hips and told me that she'd let me. I took her hand, baby, this is what I said. I said, baby, baby, don't you hesitate, 'cause I just can't wait. Lady, won't you take me down on my knees? You can do what you please. Come on and love me. I'm a man, I'm no baby, and you're looking every inch a lady. You're good looking and you're looking like you should be good. You were distant, now you're nearer. I can feel your face inside the mirror. The lights are out and I can feel you, baby, with my hands. So, baby, baby, don't you hesitate, 'cause I just can't wait. Baby, won't you take me down on my knees? You can do what you please. Come on and love me. Won't you take me down on my knees? You can do what you please. Come on and love me. 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 Come on and love me.
Yeah, come on and love me.
Love
that song. It's you great. Know, I have to admit that I'm really glad that we're doing the Jody song of the week, because it really lets us look into your mind.
I just pick them at random.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. We love you. And before we go, Joe, do you have anything to add?
I would add, make sure you check us out on Tuesday nights, kisstalk.net. You could go there. You could go to mixler.com. Either way, it's easier just to go to kisstalk.net. And thanks for listening, you know. And yeah, welcome absolutely. Back, Andrew. Missed you, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Missed you, too.
Andrew, got anything to add?
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Hope you have a great week. I know Mondays suck. And yeah, I just never got why Garfield always said that, because he's unemployed. But yeah, hope you have a great week, everyone. And be safe on the highway when you are driving to work.
Absolutely. And if you don't forget, if you want to send us a letter or you want to send us an Ask Andrew question, it's podcastrockcity1.
That's the number one.
At
gstring.com.
gmail.com. I said string accidentally. Okay, oh, anyway, geez, so you, it was like trickery.
Yes.
And we are podcast fans, and we listen to a lot of them, and you're going to hear their commercials right after the show in 3, 2, 1. Peace.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Montco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world.
Kiss!
It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Montco Radio, where music and minds meet.
History Science Theater, the most civilized.
Yeah. Oh, f- oh, f- me. Come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine Gene it's with like a washed-up bass. Boom, 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 boom.
And serious.
No, wait. Excuse me, Bob. You're gonna come over and do my album.
Kiss podcast on the web. History Science Theater. We bust balls because we can.
Hey, everybody, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast. And if you love this...
then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll, and it's always free.
All right, Kiss Army. Since 2007, you've been getting podcast, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your podcast. Every month, the podcast crew, along with the Kiss Room, brings you Kiss talk like no one else, whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great Kiss fun.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to podcast.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Podkist.
The Podkist, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
Sitting around with time to kill.
Ladies and gentlemen, do you like metal, punk rock, hardcore, and cracking jokes about being a fan? Yes? Then check out Music the Lifeblood, the podcast that goes deep into the core of being a fan with new music from badass bands, band and genre discussions, along with in-depth interviews from some of punk, metal, and hardcore's titans. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Tumblr, and Facebook. Something old, something new, what are you listening to?
Music, the lifeblood.
Baby, you know it's only you and me, and as far as I'm concerned,